It is 28 April, Sunday. I'm Charlie Garrett, and this is a CG Prophecy Report. Furries have fangs. That and a lot of other things to go over on today's report. Okay, let's see here. I got a couple things to announce. The first is that the Grace Cross, a lot of you have a Grace Cross. Charlie Missy out in California, she is the one that designed those, and she has the Grace Cross on shirts. She's got them on, you know, hats and stuff, but she sells silver and gold Grace Crosses. And now what she's done is she's got them in stainless steel, so they'll never tarnish or anything, just like silver. But they are a lot cheaper. The silver is like $85. She sells these for $35 plus $10 shipping. And it would be a nice, Mother's Day present, which is coming up soon. So if anybody wants one, email me and I will tell you how you can get. I think she had only 20 made, just just to see how people would respond. But there you go with that.
Do you have a picture of them?
I can send you one. As a matter of fact, there's going to be one on the report, but you're not watching it on the video, so no picture for you. Yes, but I may even have it in my thing here. If I do, I'll show you later. They're very nice. And then another item is that the newest Sergio and Rhoda in Israel video came out 1 hour ago. And so if you want to see that, make sure you click on and watch that today. I saw it a couple days ago, you know, checking it for all of his errors, which this time he didn't have any. I didn't have to correct anything. So it's really good. David, Tower of David in Israel and some other things. It really is a good video. So if you want, check that out, please. And then finally, I learned something this week that I didn't know, is that people can be an adverb. Did you know that? People, yes, I have a friend, Lee. He lives in the UK, and he's amazing. So I call him Amazing Lee. Okay, I got some news from Israel for you, from the Times of Israel. S&P cuts Israel's long-term credit ratings, citing military escalation risks. Now, they were upgraded by somebody a week ago, and now they're being have their long-term credit ratings cut. Ratings agency S&P Global on Thursday cut Israel's long-term ratings to A+ from AA- after the confrontation with Iran heightened last weekend and amid the already elevated geopolitical risks for Israel. We forecast that Israel's general government deficit will widen to 8% of GDP in 2024, mostly as a result of increased defense spending. The negative outlook reflects the risk that the Israel-Hamas war in Gaza and the confrontation with Lebanon's Iran-backed Hezbollah terror group could escalate or affect Israel's economy more than the agency currently expects. Earlier this month, Fitch removed Israel from rating watch negative and kept its A+ from AA-, and then they kept its A+ rating, but cited Israel's war against Hamas in Gaza as a risk. In February, Moody's downgraded the country's credit rating on war risks. Finance Minister Bezalel Smotrich said that decision was not based on sound economic reasoning and was tantamount to a pessimistic manifesto. So they obviously disagree with that in Israel. From the Times of Israel, London cops apologize for implying Jewish man's kippah provoked anti-Israel crowd. This was late last week, but in the UK, maybe they'll make this comment at the end, I'm not sure, but if you're in the UK, they would never go up to somebody with a turban on their head and accuse them of anything. But it's okay to do that with Jewish people. So Assistant Commissioner Matt Twist apologized for the openly Jewish remark, but in the same statement also invited fresh criticism by criticizing pro-Israel individuals for being provocative. Following a further torrent of criticism, the police deleted the entire statement from its X account and issued a new one in which the force apologized for the wording of some of the previous apology and clarified that being Jewish is not a provocation. The video from the April 13th incident shows an officer blocking Gideon Falter. head of the Campaign Against Anti-Semitism watchdog, from crossing a street with many people carrying Palestinian flags, telling him, "If I can ask you to stay there, please." In response, Falter told the officer, "I don't want to stay here. I want to leave." "Well, in that case, sir, when the crowd is gone, I'll happily escort you out," the officer said, while continuing to prevent Falter from getting around him. Falter faltered in his attempt to get around him. "I don't want anybody antagonizing anybody. At the moment, sir, you are quite openly Jewish. This is a pro-Palestinian march. I'm not accusing you of anything, but I'm worried about the reaction to your presence." Later in the video, another officer is seen telling Falter that he did not agree to be escorted from the area. He would be arrested. So basically what's going on is you got a protest of Palestinians over here. This guy wants to leave and he wants to go over there. And the guy wouldn't let him because he's Jewish. As I said, if you tried the opposite, there's a Jewish rally over here and a Muslim wants to go over there, they are going to let that guy go. So it's a total double standard, whatever. Jerusalem Post: Israeli weapons damaged Iranian air defenses without detection. This is a little more on what happened 2 weeks ago. Iran's S-300 air defense in Isfahan was destroyed without detection. Now, the reason why this is important is because that is the Russian equivalent to the Iron Dome, for example, in Israel. They have these things that blow things out of the sky. They did not even detect that Israel was in the area, whereas Israel detected and took out 99% of everything that came against them. So you can see the contrast in technology. The Russians do not produce as good as you would think. Now, they do have a better system, the S-400, but I doubt if that would have done any different. It says sources in multiple satellite imagery posts confirm this. It was still unclear whether drones had played some role in the attack as well. Foreign reports said that the missiles were not fired from Iranian, Israeli, or Jordanian airspace. Such an attack could have two intended effects: the impact of messaging to the Iranians that their nuclear facilities could also have been hit or could easily be hit in the future, and letting the Islamic Republic end the crisis by denying any real damage. Unlike Iran's nuclear facilities at Natanz, Karaj, and elsewhere, where Tehran has had to acknowledge their destruction in the past because they are open to visits from the IAEA, Iran can keep the public away from seeing its losses of the S-300, other than via satellite imagery. But the loss is significant in the sense that the S-300 is the most advanced anti-aircraft system the Islamic Republic possesses, which it spent years pressing Russia to sell it. On the other hand, this attack could be called much less bruising of Iran's attack capabilities than the one by Israel that destroyed huge numbers of its drone fleet in February 2022, which former Prime Minister Naftali Bennett has publicly confirmed. Further, the attack did not directly touch Iran's nuclear program, which means that the program has not been set back. From Fox: Hamas would lay down arms if an independent Palestinian state is established, militant group says. Hamas has a, this is why I am telling you this, the next sentence, not because they said this, because they've changed it three times since this article came out 5 days ago. But listen to this. Hamas has offered a five-year truce with Israel, proposing disarmament for a Palestinian state on pre-1967 borders. Tell me where else in the world or in history does anybody make a truce of a set time frame, right? It's always we're making peace, okay? This is the second time something like this has come out in the past 4 years, where they have offered a peace treaty to Israel of a determined length, which tells you that someday they will take a seven-year peace treaty, okay? There is no peace. That's exactly right. But you get the point, is that it's with Israel, it's always will give you this many years. That is insane. When you make peace, you make peace. But that's not the way it works over there. And so it's just another confirmation that we will have someday a seven-year peace treaty, just as Daniel prophesied. From Breitbart: Ron DeSantis, unruly anti-Jewish pro-Hamas protesters will be expelled from Florida universities. Hence, you don't see any of that nonsense down here. Okay, we got some news from Christianity Today, and a couple of things to tell you first. Kenya needs much more help with all of the things that they have going on, the drought, getting water available, and et cetera. So if you want to help the church in Kenya, please let me know. And then Isaac in Uganda sent me a report. He needed $600 for the house shutters. It's one of the most expensive parts of the house. He afterwards sent and said, we've received this much. We only need 390 now. So if anybody wants to help with that, he's slowly but surely getting his house done. That, you know, at the rate he's going, he may move in I don't know, 10 years or something. But we're slowly but surely pecking away at it. So if anybody wants to help with his shutters, he needs $390 left. From Christian Times, the Church of England is losing young people and fast. No surprise, but I thought I'd read you the article. The House of Commons Second Church Estates Commissioner has revealed that the number of children attending COE churches on average Sunday has halved since 2003. The church first started collecting data centrally in the autumn of 2000. As a result, it is not possible to publish data for the period from 1994 to 99. The longest period of comparable figures available from 2003 to 2022. These figures showed there were 154,000 children under the age of 16 in Church of England churches on average in a Sunday in 2003. 154,000. By 2022, that had declined to 70,000. In 2003, the average adult Sunday attendance was 802,000. By 2022, that had declined to 477,000. A parish vicar said, listen to this, would the church have attracted more young people if I had not taught the traditional Christian sexual ethic? In other words, ignore what the Bible says. If I had taught this, wouldn't we have more people now? If the church believes this clear injustice, the argument goes, then what does this say about the rest of the beliefs of the church? Is this an organization that can be taken seriously at all as a moral and ethical force in the 21st century? But the contention that the traditional teaching on marriage and sexual morality has been putting off the younger generations in the new millennium raises the question. Given that the majority of clergy are now in favor of ditching the traditional Christian sexual ethic, why has this not led to a rise in attendance by young people in the churches? Absolutely. It has nothing to do with it. It has to do with rejecting this. Years ago, the sexual thing is just the newest part of the already going down the tanking. From Zero Hedge, thought police. Home visit for UK man who expressed anger online about Sydney Bishop being stabbed by an Islamist. You heard about the bishop. He was stabbed over there, and this guy got angry online. And they came to his home to find out if he was okay. A video out of the UK shows how an Orthodox Christian man in the United Kingdom received a home visit from police and a psychologist for reportedly posting online, "Christians must stand up." That's all he put. The clip shows a female officer explaining how authorities had a few concerns about what the man had posted on social media. The woman says the police have been told the man might have a few concerns, a few things that are bothering you at the moment. People raise concerns about your views and what's going on in Australia. The NHS psychologist reiterated that there was a report about some beliefs being expressed, and there he was there to help the man. So because I've questioned about the church not acting on behalf of Christians, you're now turning up here with a mental health nurse assuming I'm some type of right-wing nutter. Presumably, despite rising violent crime and police increasingly incapable of responding to actual crimes like theft and burglaries, they have plenty of resources to visit people's homes over Facebook posts. From the Christian Times, Forgotten War. Sudan's displaced Christians brace for world's worst hunger crisis. The United Nations stated that the world's worst hunger crisis is looming, warning that one-third of Sudan's 49 million people suffer acute food insecurity, and 222,000 children could die of starvation within weeks. Yet, an international emergency response plan is only 6% funded. Whereas the Gaza Strip, which has plenty of food, and everybody knows that it's being stolen by Hamas, It's got the world's focus and attention, but we've got hundreds of thousands of children likely to die in the next couple of weeks, and we've got 49 million people, one-third of them, facing critical food shortages. From the Christian Post, Supreme Court of Finland to hear hate. I told you this was coming. Here it is. To hear hate speech charges against Christian MP over Bible tweet. A couple months ago, maybe even less, I said that this is the second challenge to her. She was found not guilty in the low court. They took it up to a higher court, trying to get this girl convicted for citing Leviticus, right? And then she was found not guilty again. So what did they do? They've appealed it to the highest court in the land. Finnish parliamentarian Pavi Raisinen, and I know I mispronounced that because it's got umlauts all over it, will face trial a third time over her five-year-old Bible verse tweet that criticized the Finnish Lutheran Church for promoting LGBT Pride Month. Raisinen, who led Finland's Christian Democrat Party from 2004 to 2015 and served as the country's interior ministry from 2011 to 2015, is being dragged into court again despite having been acquitted twice by lower courts on hate crime charges, according to a statement from lawyers at the ADF. International police began investigating the grandmother of 11 shortly after her 2019 tweet, in which she posted a photo from the Book of Romans, I said Leviticus, Romans, and questioned how the Finnish Lutheran Church could agree with shame and sin being presented as a matter of pride. And she's gone through, what, 4 or 5 years of court trials because of saying that. Can't even quote the Bible over there without getting in trouble. Yeah. Got some news from the Mideast in Africa today. From Zero Hedge, Iran's oil exports climbed to the highest level in 6 years. With all of those sanctions.
Yes.
The daily average over the period stood at 1.56 million barrels, almost all of which was sent to China, earning Tehran some $35 billion. The Iranians have mastered the art of sanctions circumvention. If the Biden admin is really going to have an impact, it has to shift the focus to China, which will never happen ever on the planet. Clearly, Iran is continuing to export some oil. Some. There may be more that we could do. I don't want to preview our actual sanctions activities, but certainly that remains in focus as a possible area that we could address, Yellen said. However, the Biden admin is reluctant to tighten the sanction noose too much, as this would inevitably lead to an increase in oil prices that a president running for a re-election cannot really afford in an election year. Therefore, they're giving him enough money to build multiple bombs over there in Iran and bring the world into a nuclear holocaust because he wants to get reelected. That's especially relevant in light of the fact that the government would hardly be able to repeat the SPR release from 2022 to tame prices at the pump, as the reserve sits at the lowest level in 40 years after that 2022 release. Also, any heavy-handed action against Iran's oil exports would affect relations with China, which is virtually the only outlet for the Iranian crude. That crude, according to the Financial Times, covers a tenth of China's total oil imports. Zero Hedge, Biden's punishing Iran sanctions for Israel attack end up being meek political smokescreen. He said, we're going to punish Iran for having attacked Israel directly, right? Biden has unveiled the admin's promised new sanctions on Iran, targeting the country's drone, steel, and automotive industries, which is punishment in response to the unprecedented Iranian ballistic missile and drone attack against Israel. Biden's statement presented the sanctions as part of his vow to help defend Israel and all about holding Iran accountable. The sanctions target leaders and entities connected to the IRGC, Iran's defense ministry, and the government's missile and drone program that enabled this brazen assault, they said, also emphasizing that G7 partners are committed to acting collectively to increase economic pressure on Iran. Well, they haven't increased it in any area at all, ever, including selling oil illegally, but this will take care of it. From the Times of Israel, Iran preparing to receive shipment of Su-35 Russian fighter jets. I said this, what, 2 months ago? I read an article and this was coming. Here it is. A week after Iran fired a massive barrage of drones and missiles towards Israel in response to an alleged Israeli airstrike on a building near Tehran's consulate in Damascus, Russia intends to deliver 12 of the fighter jets soon. Iran currently has mostly Russian MiG and Sukhoi fighter jets that date back to the Soviet era, as well as some Chinese aircraft, including the F-7, some American F-4 and F-5 fighter jets dating back to before the 1979 Islamic Revolution are also a part of this fleet. So they don't have very much, but they're going to get new weapons because they have a lot of money they can spend because we've allowed them to sell a lot of oil. From the Times of Israel. After hosting Hamas leader, Erdogan encourages Palestinians to unite against Israel. Erdogan has called Hamas a liberation group, and Israel worse than the Nazis, has tried and failed to establish a foothold as a mediator in the Gaza conflict that has roiled the region. Erdogan said Palestinian unity was vital following the talks at the palace. The strongest response to Israel and the path to victory lie in unity and integrity, Erdogan said. Amid fears of a wider regional war, Erdogan said recent events between Iran and Israel should not allow Israel to gain ground and that it is important to act in a way that keeps attention on Gaza. From Ynet, death to Israel in Turkish parliament during Erdogan's speech. Breitbart. European migrant crisis, West African route crossings surge to record high. NBC, Iran's supreme leader tacitly acknowledges Tehran hit little in its attack on Israel. It didn't hit anything. They hit one place inside of a military facility that blew up a lot of dirt. And that's pretty much all. And one Arab girl, Bedouin Arab girl. That's all they blew up. Now we got something interesting from Mongolia. From Global Mining Review, Sandvik wins order in Mongolia for electric rotary drill rigs. So if you have invested in Sandvik, you're going to make a lot of money, folks. Sandvik received an order from Mongolian Altmac LLC to supply electric rotary drill rigs for use at the Tsagaan Suvarga project in Mongolia. The order is valued at approximately SEK 170 million and was booked in the first quarter of 24. The order includes five cable electric DR410 IE drills with delivery scheduled to begin in second quarter of 2024 and concluded by the fourth quarter of 25. Tsagaan Suvarga ranks as the third largest copper and molybdenum reserve in Mongolia. I don't know about you, but I found that incredibly fascinating. Sometimes it's really hard to get something out of Mongolia. From Daniel 12 Technology, interesting engineering. This is interesting. World's largest neuromorphic computer by Intel works like a human brain. Intel has announced the launch of the world's largest neuromorphic computer, HollaPoint. Initially deployed at Sandia National Labs, the computer mimics the human brain in processing information. While unveiling HollaPoint, Intel said this breakthrough could give a big boost to AI research. HollaPoint processes information 50 times faster and uses 100 times less energy than traditional computing systems. Through this, Intel aims to make the use of AI more sustainable. The computing cost of today's AI models is rising at unsustainable rates. The industry needs fundamentally new approaches capable of scaling. Traditional computers process information linearly. They rely on CPUs and GPUs. On the other hand, neuromorphic computers are inspired by the way the human brain works. They use networks of artificial neurons and synapses similar to the biological brain. The structure helps neuromorphic computers process many calculations simultaneously. It is capable of processing up to 20 quadrillion operations per second. That is 20 petaops of information, while maintaining remarkable energy efficiency. exceeding 15 trillion operations per second per watt. For context, this rivals the power of some of the world's fastest supercomputers. With this processing power, Hollow Point can complete complex AI tasks with exceptional speed, all while consuming a maximum of 2,600 watts of power, comparable to a household appliance. As per Intel, Hollow Point can offer unprecedented speed and efficiency thanks to this massive parallel processing. Powering Hollow Point is Intel's Lohoi 2 neuromorphic processor that represents a significant upgrade over its predecessor. The system packs 1,152 Lohoi 2 processors into a space about the size of a microwave oven. Subsequently, it can support up to 1.15 billion artificial neurons and 128 billion synapses. This neuron capacity of Hollow Point is roughly equivalent to the brain power of an owl or a small monkey. Hollow Point combines deep learning efficiency with novel brain-inspired learning and optimization capabilities. We hope that research with Hollow Point will advance the efficiency and adaptability of large-scale AI technology. Very interesting. They can do with this teeny little thing what it takes a supercomputer to do, and they can do it with much less energy. And it's just a teeny thing. Now, if they start building these on a huge scale, that'll be pretty cool. It's a dangerous world, including the inevitable plagues noted in the Book of Revelation. From Quartz, mutated strains of an unknown drug-resistant bacteria somehow got onto the ISS. Now, this is just an article, but to me, this is kind of scary because if they have something mutate in outer space and they bring it back, how do you know what it's going to do? So, a group of researchers took a closer look at bacterial strains on board the ISS and found that they had mutated to a different form that's genetically and functionally distinct from their earthly counterparts. In a new study, scientists suggest that bacteria in space become more resistant to treatment or drugs and are able to openly persist in the microgravity environment in abundance. Over the past two decades, the ISS has hosted nearly 300 astronauts. As a result, a unique microbial population has grown. In 2019, researchers conducted the first extensive survey of bacteria and fungi on board the ISS and found a whole bunch of microorganisms living among the astronauts. The bacteria that live on the ISS enjoy different conditions than those found on Earth, and they are influenced by different factors like ventilation, humidity, air pressure, as well as the number of astronauts on board the station. The extreme environment in space also exposes the bacteria to microgravity, radiation, and elevated levels of carbon dioxide. As a result, the microorganisms have to adapt in order to survive. It's not clear how the space bacteria may affect the health of astronauts on the space station, but the authors call for preventive measures to help mitigate the effects of the mutated species. It's also unclear whether these mutated drug-resistant microbes pose a risk, here it is, to humans on Earth. Given this discovery, it's crucial to consider the emergence of germs in space that would likely not occur under Earth's conditions. Newsmax, USDA confirms cow-to-cow bird flu transmission. From the Gateway Pundit, Malaysian doctor expresses deep regret for vaccination stance, offers profuse apology for past advice during COVID-19 pandemic. Mail Online, two hunters become first Americans to die from zombie deer disease after eating infected venison. Mail Online, scientists uncover missing link between junk food and cancer, which could explain explosion of tumors in young people. Right in 2022, man, they went up. It's junk food. A study found that chemicals produced when eating junk food raised cancer risk. Junk food like red meat and sugar, which I've been eating now for 60 years, could inhibit cancer-protecting genes. You ought to see the chart. Junk food. We didn't have junk food until 2022. Morality is declining. Mail Online. Children's gender clinic whistleblower tells Dr. Phil patients were begging to have breasts put back on and bosses told medics to keep silent on detransitioners. Iowa Standard. Planned Parenthood spends $700 million in government funds to kill nearly 400,000 children in 2022-2023. Your tax dollars. Breitbart. Biden's EEOC says employers must accommodate workers' abortions. Breitbart. Biden dumps Trump Title IX changes, stiffer protections for LGBTQ students, but bypasses trans issue. You know, there are a bunch of people out there, these older people that vote Democrat. Yeah. They don't know any of this stuff.
No.
They don't know any of this. That this guy is a sexual deviant. He and Obama and all the people that are over there doing these things, they don't know this is happening. And I guarantee you, if they did, but they're not willing to listen to anybody on the right. They're not willing to. And if they don't hear it on the news that they tune to,
right,
they will continue to vote for these people.
Yep.
That's why they're doing this the way they're doing it. Just openly, because they know that their news people are not going to report it to the people that would vote them out of office.
Yeah.
Breitbart. Girls in West Virginia refuse to compete against trans athlete at track and field event.
Good,
good girls. Breitbart. Author of report critical of transgender medicine told not to travel on public transport over security concerns. If you're against LGBTQ stuff, don't travel because somebody might not like it. Zero Hedge. St. Louis University hosts Dylan Mulvaney denies college Republicans' request for event with former NCAA swimmer a day later. Mail Online. Students walked out of Mount Nebo Middle School in Utah to protest the school for allowing furries to terrorize other students. Around 75 parents and students staged a protest. Some children claimed their furry peers were biting and scratching people. Now think of this. They are allowing children, mentally defective children, into school wearing fur costumes. They walk around pretending I'm a dog or I'm a lion or whatever. They bite other children and they allow them to stay in school. I'll leave that, but I won't repeat it, okay? Other news from the Washington, you'll have to listen closely if you want to hear what Ray said. From the Washington Times, North Carolina teen slapped with 3-day suspension for saying illegal alien in class. Say something that's legal and you get kicked out of class. Christian McGee, 16, was given a 3-day out-of-school suspension from Central Davidson High School in Lexington for a question he asked after his teacher gave a vocabulary lesson that included the word alien. Christian raised his hand and said, like space or illegal aliens who need green cards. So he was kidding. Who cares? Listen to this. A Hispanic student reacted in class by saying he would beat up Christian. An administrator took the boys into the hallway where the Hispanic student said he was joking. An assistant principal suspended Christian for making a racially insensitive comment. This kid threatened this kid and they didn't do anything.
Yep.
His parents objected, arguing that illegal alien is a legally recognized term. But the administrator refused to budge. Mrs. McGee said the family previously lived in England and that Christian is aware green cards are required to live and work in the United States. And yet he's in trouble. I would sue that school district.
Amen.
I would. I'm not kidding. Get the ADF and line up and start suing them. Zero Hedge, Albanian king of Instagram. This just maddens me. You remember that kid a couple weeks ago on Instagram that was telling you how to break into people's homes and become a squatter so they can't get in and live there? This is happening in the UK. Listen to this. Albanian king of Instagram used platform to tell followers how to sneak into Britain, join the drug trade. Right on Instagram, he's telling them this. Kozak Braci, an Albanian social media influencer with over 500,000 followers on TikTok and Instagram, has hosted live tours of cannabis farms and offered insights into profiting from criminal activities in the United Kingdom during his streams. One image captures Braci standing beside a man in a black SUV with a house displaying the Union flag in the background. In another photo, the influencer, whose chest and right arm are adorned with tattoos of AK-47s, sports a Chelsea shirt in front of a red Audi. Braci, who boasts that he earns £25,000 a month from his social media platforms, frequently posts pictures of himself with luxury cars and designer items. "It's great to stay in the cannabis house. I can live there without a problem," he tells his followers. Graham Wetone, an ex-Met police officer, reacted to the videos shown to him by characterizing them as glorifying drug production in the UK and enticing would-be criminals to come to Britain. Earlier this year, it was revealed that the Home Office intends to pay Albanian influencers £100,000 to discourage their followers from entering Britain illegally. The UK government is going to pay them to tell them not to come. Why would they do that when they're making £25,000 a month telling them to come? A UN report indicates that Albanian criminals now dominate the UK's cocaine market, importing the drug via Southeast England's ports with the aid of violent European gangs. Among these, the Helbanians gang from East London openly flaunts its criminal endeavors on social media. Can you imagine the world we're living in? Talk about Genesis 6 and Jesus says it's going to be like that. Yeah. It's already there. I mean, how can it be worse? The world is filled with wickedness. God looked down and saw the sons of men and he said, "I got to do something about this," right?
Yes.
I mean, we're allowing this openly in our societies. Yes. From Cal Matters, California sues Huntington Beach. California sues Huntington Beach to stop voter ID requirement. California is taking Huntington Beach to court again, this time over a change to its city charter adopted last month by local voters that would allow the city to require voter ID in municipal elections. But Attorney General Bonta and Secretary of State Weber announced that they would seek to invalidate the new law for interfering with state protections of voting rights. State protections of voting rights. The officials, both Democrats, argued that Huntington Beach's ID requirement could disenfranchise voters and is unnecessary because there is not widespread fraud in California elections. Did you know that? From the Post-Millennial, Soros-linked NGO distributes flyers in Mexico telling illegal immigrants to vote for President Biden.
Shocking.
"I didn't call him president." That's what the flyer says. Flyers allegedly being distributed at a Soros-linked NGO resource center in Mexico are encouraging illegal immigrants to vote for Biden when they get to the U.S. The flyers state, "You do not need documentary proof of citizenship to register to vote. Hence, the article I just read you is validated. You can vote if you simply swear you are eligible." The Oversight Project said that flyers were being distributed to illegal immigrants, oh, I can't say that, who use RCM assistance in coming to the U.S. and were even found on walls of porta potties at the location. From NN, Biden admin bans drilling in nearly half of Alaska Petroleum Reserve in sweeping win for climate advocates. Georgia Star News report, Biden has taken over 200 actions against U.S. oil. American Military News, anti-communism education bill signed by Ron DeSantis. Good job. Who said it? "When we work, we work. When we pray, God works." No, he didn't say it. James Hudson Taylor. Yes. Okay, got a Lesrick here for you. I think this is Les. Anyway, I think it's Les. Kids can't say what they know to be truth if school staff think the same as uncouth. Oh my gosh, golly gee, you can't question E.T. If you do, you're a sayer of sooth. Okay, couple ironies, and we'll be done. Now, this one made a lot of the news, so you probably saw it, but if you didn't, it's still, it's both perverse and ironic at the same time. Woman wheels a corpse into a bank and tries to get him to sign off on a loan in her name while holding his head up in front of suspicious staff who ask why he looks very pale. She actually brought water and was like, "Here, have some water." And he's drooling down his face. He's dead as a doornail. And from Zero Hedge, New Guinea academics say cannibals would be offended by Biden's tale of uncle being eaten. Such is the world in which we live. So from Sarasota, Florida to Ulaanbaatar, Mongolia, I'm Charlie Garrett, and that is your CG report for the week.